السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we will continue with our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Amir al-Mu'minin في الحديث أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله، and we are on hadith number 89. This hadith occurs under Babun al-walidatu rahimat. Babun al-walidatu rahimat. The hadith occurs under the chapter heading al-walidatu rahimat. Mothers, the mothers are rahimat. Very merciful people. People who are full of mercy and compassion for their children. Al-walidat rahimat. Mothers are merciful. It is a well-known fact by fitra. By natural instinct, we all know that every mother is merciful to her child. A mother is so merciful to the child that she alone understands the cry of the child. When that child cries because the diaper is wet, the mother understands. When the child cries because the tummy is disturbing, the mother understands. When the child cries because it is itching, some part of the body is itching, the mother understands. The mother is so merciful to the child. The inconveniences of the child are inconveniencing, seriously disturbing for the mother, out of her mercy, out of her compassion for that child. So by instinct, the mothers are by natural make of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made mothers to be very, very merciful towards their children. So we have a hadith under this chapter, bismillah, that makes us understand this fact some more. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported the hadith from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Ibrahim. So in hadith number 89, he says, حَدَّثَنَا مُسْلِمُ ابْنُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا ابْنُ فَضَالَةَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا بَكْرُ ابْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْمُزَنِي عَنْ عَنَسِ ابْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ جَاءَتْ امْرَأَةٌ إِلَى عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا فَأَعْطَتْهَا عَائِشَةُ ثَلَاثَ تَمْرَاتٍ فَأَعْطَتْ كُلَّ صَبِيٍّ لَهَا تَمْرَةً وأمسكت لنفسها تمرة فأكل الصبيان التمرتين ونظرا إلى أمهما فعمدت إلى التمرة فشقتها فأعطت كل صبي نصف تمرة فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأخبرته عائشة فقال وما يعجبك من ذلك لقد رحمها الله برحمتها صبييها لقد رحمها الله برحمتها صبييها. It says, جاءت امرأة إلى عائشة رضي الله عنها فأعطتها عائشة ثلاث تمرات فأعطت كل صبي لها تمرة وأمسكت لنفسها تمرة فأكل الصبيان التمرتين ونظرا إلى أمهما فعمدت إلى الثمرة فشقتها فأعطت كل صبي نصف تمرة فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأخبرته عائشة فقال وما يعجبك من ذلك فضغط صوها في نسخة of المكتبة مكتبة الهدي المحمدي مكتبة الهدي المحمدي. What it says is وَمَا يُعْجِبُكَ, and that's an error. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam rather said وَمَا يُعْجِبُكِ, that's the typographic error. That يُعْجِبُكَ should be وَمَا يُعْجِبُكِ, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was addressing our mother Aisha. It's clearly a typographic error. فَقَالَ وَمَا يُعْجِبُكِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ لقد رحمها الله برحمتها صبييها وما يعجبك من ذلك لقد رحمها الله برحمتها صبييها رضي الله عنهم. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Shaykh Muslim ibn Ibrahim, and Muslim ibn Ibrahim rahimahullah, one of the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, his kunya is Abu Abdullah Al-Azdi, Muslim ibn Ibrahim Al-Azdi. Qala haddathana ibn Fadala, he has reported this hadith from a well-known scholar of hadith, even though he has issues regarding what the scholars refer to as At-Tadlis. He has issues regarding what the scholars refer to as At-Tadlis. We had explained this point, so we'll move forward inshallah because of time. So his name is Mubarak ibn Fadala. Mubarak ibn Fadala. Muslim ibn Ibrahim has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Mubarak ibn Fadala. Qala haddathana Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani. Bakr ibn Abdullah, that's like the name of one of the scholars in our times, Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah. Many of us would have read Hilya to Talib al-Ilm by Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah. He also has other books, Tasheeh al-Dua. He has Tasmiyat al-Mawlud. He has Hajr al-Mubtadi'. He has La Jadida fi Ahkam al-Salah. And many of the books, he has At-Ta'alum. He has many other books, Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah. So that is the name of this Tabi'i. This Tabi'i is Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani. He is from among the students of Anas ibn Malik. And the scholars have mentioned him to be a well-grounded scholar of Hadith and a well-grounded scholar of Fiqh. And he was well known to be very, very worshipful. The scholars would say that huwa min khiyarin nas, he is from among the best of the people. And wa kana mujaba da'wa, and Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani was from among those that when they made dua, Allah answered their dua. We remember when we discussed Thabit al-Bunani in the last class, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik, it was Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani who said that from amongst the people they have met, ma laqina a'bada minhu, ma adrakna a'bada minhu, I have not met a person as worshipful as Thabit al-Bunani. It means Bakr ibn Abdullah, just like Thabit al-Bunani, were people who were full of worship and righteous deeds, just like their Sheikh Anas ibn Malik. The point I like to draw from this, each time I emphasize a very learned person being very worshipful and righteous in his lines of conduct, is that those of us who are very busy with learning the sciences of the religion, we must understand that there is no disconnection between learning Islam and being knowledgeable. To be knowledgeable, there is no disconnection between being knowledgeable and being righteous. Being a righteous, worshipful person, and then being knowledgeable. Being knowledgeable must not disconnect you from being a righteous servant of Allah. The righteous servant of Allah are those who fulfill the obligations of Allah and follow the Messenger Sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they avoid and disconnect from every act of sin and sinfulness. That a person is talibul ilm is not a guarantee that he should now become an unrighteous person, someone who disobeys Allah as he wills, thinking that after all I am Sheikh, after all I am Ustaz. This disconnect is a very, very wrong disconnect. The knowledgeable ones are necessarily the pious ones. And piety would not be attained until one is knowledgeable. That is the other side of the wing. Knowledge is studied to attain piety. Piety would not be attained until the individual knows what makes Allah happy and what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Righteousness will not be attained until al-halal and al-haram are known. Likewise, knowledge is not beneficial until the individual employs the knowledge. So they are like the two wings of a bird. The bird will not fly with a single wing. The individual will not succeed just being knowledgeable and unrighteous. And the individual will not succeed trying to be righteous without being knowledgeable. They are so connected, because these two extremes are things that we find in our community. Some of the people become so engrossed with issues of learning, and they forget that learning itself is not a goal in itself. Learning is to help the individual attain the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other end are those who are busy with worship, like the Jama'atul Tabligh. I think we need to be very frank and straightforward about that. You see a person so busy worshipping, making nawafil. Let me give us a very, very simple example. We are in the month of Rajab now. An individual out of love for acts of righteousness may become engrossed in fasting in the month of Rajab. And fasting in the month of Rajab by way of worshipping Allah will rather distance you from Allah rather than bringing you close to Allah, because it's an act of innovation. Performing Hajj in the month of Rajab, because we're in the month of Rajab, it is from the acts of innovations. The ahadith that come or that have been reported regarding these matters are very, very weak. So when a person reads a weak and a fabricated hadith in a book containing those kinds of reports, and then he begins to practice all these things, thinking that he's pleasing Allah, he does not know that he is distancing himself from Allah. That is why you cannot disconnect knowledge from righteousness. The same way, it is not appropriate for an individual to think that he is learning and then he does not avoid acts of sins, or he does not have nawafil with which and obligatory deeds with which he comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these are capped in a single verse of the Quran. Innama yakhsha Allah ibadihi al-ulama. Those who truly fear Allah amongst his servants, those who are truly righteous amongst his servants, they are the learned ones. Meaning that learning leads to righteousness, and there cannot be righteousness without learning, because you wouldn't know what is halal and haram. So these are the scholars of Islam. These are our salaf. They combine between knowledge and what? Good deeds and righteousness. So each time they have to be talked about, the people talk about that these people are knowledgeable, and they are very, very good in terms of acts of good deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is about Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani, who has reported this hadith from Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, and he needs no instruction. He needs no introduction. Anas ibn Malik. We spoke a bit about Anas in the last class. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu reported this hadith and said, جاءت امرأة إلى عائشة رضي الله عنها فأعطتها عائشة ثلاث تمرات. جاءت امرأة, a woman came to Aisha رضي الله عنها, our mother. In the report of Aisha herself in this hadith, because This means that this is from the report of a Sahabi from a Sahabi, or from a Sahabi who witnessed the event. We know Anas ibn Malik used to go into the homes of the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam before the 7th year of Hijrah. So for the first 7 years of the Prophet's stay in Medina, before the verses of Hijab were revealed, Anas ibn Malik used to enter into the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wife inside, because he was a little young boy with them at the time who was serving the entire family. So Anas ibn Malik might have been a witness to that event, or he might have been reporting this hadith from who? From Aisha radiallahu anha. That's why if you go to the books of Masanid, the books that contain a hadith directly reported by companions from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith occurs from the Musnad of Anas. It also occurs from the Musnad of Aisha. In fact, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, this hadith occurs as a hadith that Aisha herself was reporting to the people. So it was possible that Anas ibn Malik heard it from Aisha. It was also possible that he was a witness to that event. If he had reported it from Aisha radiallahu anhuma, then that means that this is riwayah to sahabiyin and sahabiyin. This is a report of a sahaba from another sahaba. A sahaba would witness another event and then he would tell those who had not witnessed the event. So Aisha could have, Anas ibn Malik could have reported this hadith, hearing it from Aisha. It was also possible that Anas ibn Malik himself witnessed the event. So in the reports in Bukhari and Muslim, you would see that Aisha herself was reporting the hadith. But here in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and in other books of hadith, Anas ibn Malik was reporting this hadith as a story from Aisha radiallahu anhuma. So it says, Ja'at imra'atun ila Aisha radiallahu anha. A woman came to Aisha radiallahu anha. In the report in Sahih Muslim, it says, Ja'atni imra'atun. A woman came to me. That's reporting Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim also, she said, Ja'atni miskinatun. A poor woman came to me. A needy woman came to me. She was miskina. She was faqira, radiallahu anha. She was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this woman who was in the position of need came to Aisha. فَأَعْطَتْهَا عَائِشَةُ ثَلَاثَ Aisha radiallahu anha provided this woman with 3 days. In the report in Sahih Muslim, it says that at that time she did not have anything in her house except a single date. But she finally gave the woman 3 dates. The scholars explained that what happened was that when she found out that she only had a date, she began to search the house for more dates or for some more things that she could provide that woman, radiallahu anhum. And then she found additional dates and provided that woman 3 dates, radiallahu anhum. فَأَعْطَتْهَا عَائِشَةُ radiallahu anha ثَلَاثَ تَمْرَاتٍ Aisha radiallahu anha gave that woman 3 dates. فَأَعْطَتْ كُلَّ صَبِيٍّ لَهَا تَمْرَةً This woman handed كُلَّ صَبِيٍّ لَهَا تَمْرَةً She handed every child that she was carrying, because she was carrying 2 boys, 2 children, 2 of her children, one on the right, one on the left. She gave the 2 of them the 2 dates. وَأَمْسَكَتْ لِنَفْسِهَا تَمْرَةً And she kept the 3rd date for herself. She had 3 dates from Aisha, radiallahu anha, because she said, Ja'atni imra'atun ma'aha ibnatan tas'ali. She had 2 children, and this woman was asking me. She was miskina. She was a poor person asking, provide me, give me if you have, give me, give me, give me. She was begging. Let me be more direct. The woman was miskina, and she was begging, and she had 2 children with her. Radiallahu anha. She's better than all of us. She was poor and she was begging, and she's better than all of us. Radiallahu anha, because she was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a virtue that we all cannot achieve. None of us who is on the earth today saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believed in him. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, khayrun nasi qarni. The best of the people are those who have lived with me. So they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they believed him. She comes amongst the group of people that Allah mentioned in the Quran, who begged Allah, saying that Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil imani an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Oh our Lord, we heard somebody announcing and inviting and saying that we should believe in you. Because of that call this person made, for amanna, this woman called comes amongst this group of people. And we know in that verse in Surah 2 Ali Imran, fastajaba lahum rabbuhum, Allah answered their prayers immediately. Likewise, when the Quran said, amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billah, this woman comes under that verse. The messenger believes with those who were along with him. This woman comes under that verse. So despite the fact that she was poor and was begging, she still has a very great virtue before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she gave this woman 3 dates. The woman gave each of her children each of the dates, a date each. وَأَمْسَكَتْ لِنَفْسِهَا تَمْرَةً. And then she kept a date for herself. فَأَكَلَ الصِّبْيَانُ تَمْرَتَيْنِ. The kids, each of them ate their dates. One ate the date, the second one ate the second date the mother gave to them. وَنَظَرَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِمَا. After they had eaten the date, they began to look at their mother as if to say, give us more. They began to look at their mother as if to say, give us more. فَعَمَدَتْ إِلَىٰ التَّمَرَةِ فَشَقَّتْهَا. She returned to the date that she herself had kept herself. فَشَقَّتْهَا. She divided the date into two. فَأَعْطَتْ كُلَّ صَبِيٍّ نِصْفَ. فَأَعْطَتْ كُلَّ صَبِيٍّ نِصْفَ تَمْرَةٍ. Then she gave each of the children the half from the date that she had divided into two. She gave this one a half. She gave the other one a half. That would mean that the woman was left with nothing. رضي الله عنها. فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In the report, and the Prophet came to the room of Aisha رضي الله عنها. Because when Aisha saw that, as it occurs in the report in Sahih Muslim and in other books of hadith, she was moved to tears. This woman had nothing. I gave her 3 dates. She divided each of the dates amongst the 2 children that she had. The 3rd date, she did not eat it immediately. She kept it. When the children began to look at her as if they wanted a date, they wanted an addition, she broke it into 2 and divided it amongst the children. Aisha radiallahu anha, دخل علي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأنا أبكي. The Prophet asked her radiallahu anha, ما يبكيك? What is it that makes you cry, O Aisha? فأخبرته عائشة radiallahu anha. So Aisha radiallahu anha told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that woman. That was why in the other report also in Sahih Muslim she says, فَأَعْجَبَنِي شَأْنُهَا. I was surprised, I was amazed. This woman was hungry, the 2 children were hungry, and yet she did what she has done. Radiallahu anhum. فَقَالَ. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يُعْجِبُكِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ. Oh Aisha, why are you amazed at that? Don't be amazed. لَقَدْ رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهَا صَبِيَّيْهَا. لَقَدْ رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهَا صَبِيَّيْهَا. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, لَقَدْ. Certainly, surely, indeed, رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهَا صَبِيَّيْهَا. Allah has shown compassion and mercy to that woman, بِرَحْمَتِهَا صَبِيَّيْهَا, for her being compassionate and merciful to her children. As she showed mercy and compassion to those children and kindness to them, Allah has shown kindness to her in return. subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has rewarded her with kindness, with compassion too. She shows compassion to her children. Allah directed compassion to her. Radiallahu anha. This is why Al-Imam al-Bukhari picked this hadith and placed it under this chapter. What is the chapter heading? Al-Walidatu Rahimat. The mothers are merciful. This is the way the mothers are. They are so, so merciful to their children. If a king wants to hurt a child and the mother will try to save herself and save the child. And when it becomes extremely difficult, most mothers will give up. They would prefer to be taken away than that their children were taken away. Radiallahu anhum. So this is the way that the mothers are. They are so, so merciful. This woman, out of mercy and compassion for her children, she divided the days and then she had nothing because Aisha radiallahu anha had nothing to provide. So she herself dropped the tears of amazement, the tears of pity for this woman who out of hunger came to her and begged for her need. She got the need, she did not go to satisfy herself first. She rather wanted to satisfy the children first. What she even kept the house for herself, she had to also divide it into two amongst the children. This led our mother Aisha radiallahu anha to compassionate weep, to a compassionate tear. She allowed her tears to flow out of compassion, and then she told it to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam when he came in. And then the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهَا صَدِيَّيْهَا. In the report in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet says, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَوْجَبَ لَهَا بِهَا الْجَنَّةِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَوْجَبَ لَهَا بِهَا الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala biha, for her rahmah, for her mercy, for her compassion that she showed to them, qad awjaba laha al-jannah. Allah has written for her that she will go into al-jannah. This is the mercy that occurs in this report in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The mercy that she received from that act of kindness and mercy towards her children is the fact that Allah writes down al-jannah for her. This is a very, very big lesson for us mothers, that we have a duty to be compassionate towards our children. It is something that comes to us naturally, but we are now living in a generation where many of the mothers have become involved in things that lose the mercy and their kindness towards their children. If you take a child away from home, many of us from age one, should be feeling the warmth of the body of their mothers. This is the time that they should be backed. This is the time that perhaps some of them may still be breastfeeding, because we could breastfeed our children up to 2 years of age. So this is the time that many of the mothers, out of no time for that child, we will go and drop those children in a place in Yoruba land we refer to as Deleo Sini. That is, these children are a kind of a nuisance to the house. So we throw them out of the house. This is from the aspect of not being compassionate with your child. Be compassionate with your child. Isn't it that pedagogists say that the children should not be involved in formal learning until they are 4 years of age? Some even say 5 years of age. That was why in the past, the tests for getting into primary school used to be that your hands have to touch the opposite side of the ear. That was how we were admitted into primary schools. We were, at the time, there wasn't, you hardly found any nursery school anywhere. The only nursery school I knew in the entire city where I was born was just one, Young Christian Women Association. They had a nursery school, which only started 1 year before. Otherwise, there was hardly a nursery school at the time. It was primary school. And before you get to primary school, your hands will be placed across your head to your ears. But now, a boy of 2 years, parents throw them away from the home into the schools. This is from the aspects of not being compassionate to the child. The child at this early age requires that they are brought to us. We keep them to ourselves. We manage them with ourselves. We understand their circumstance. We show them mercy. We show them kindness so that they know that what makes the human being is that the human being is kind to the rest of the people. But children have lost all of these now. And that's why you find children do what you don't expect that a human being do now. These are the same children that have grown up to become the kinds of boys, the kinds of girls that we now see in the society. Please, our own situation must be like that. Let us be mothers, let us be fathers who are compassionate with their children. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he had mentioned a hadith to us in Sahih al-Bukhari, although it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, mu'allakun, that akhadha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ibnahu Ibrahim. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam took his son, whose name was what? Ibrahim. That is the son that was given back to by who? Maria al-Qibtiyya. This woman gave birth to Ibrahim for the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. فَقَبَّلَهُ وَشَمَّهُ. The Prophet kissed this boy and started to smell the entirety of the body of this boy out of compassion and mercy for this boy. This was the kind of messenger we had. And this was the kind of the line of conduct that he left for us. So he had good companionship with his children. He also had good companionship with the rest of the children, including his grandchildren, as we shall read in the hadith that follow. This will lead us to the next chapter, Babu Kublati Sidiyan. Babu Kublati Sidiyan. Babu Kublati Sidiyan. The chapter regarding kissing children. The chapter regarding that parents kiss your children. Parents kiss your children. Mother, kiss your son, kiss your daughter. Father, kiss your son, kiss your little kids. Kiss them. Show them mercy. Show them kindness. Carry them to yourself. Some men can count upon their hand, upon a five-finger hand, how many times they have carried their sons or their daughters to themselves as kids. These people were children, toddlers, kids, infants. Some men will say, I am too big to carry a boy. I'm too big to carry an infant. I'm too big to carry a girl. Your son, your daughter. Let us hear what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari placed this hadith under the chapter Babu Kubla to Sidiyan, the chapter regarding the fact that the children should be kissed, kissing children, the chapter about kissing children. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Yusuf. So he says, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Yusuf, Qala Haddathana Sufyan, and Hisham, and Urwata, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت جاء عربي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال أتقبلون صبيانكم فما نقبلكم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أو أملك لك أن نزع الله من قلبك الرحمة أو أملك لك أن نزع الله من قبلك الرحمة من قلبك الرحمة أو أملك لك أن نزع الله من قبلك من قلبك الرحمة أملك لك أن نزع الله من قلبك الرحمة. الإمام البخاري reported that hadith from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Yusuf. Muhammad ibn Yusuf is Al-Firyadi, even though he had other teachers whose names were Muhammad ibn Yusuf. This is Al-Firyadi rahimahullah. He was a great scholar of hadith rahimahullah. حدثنا سفيان. He is reporting from his Shaykh Sufyan al-Thawri. And Hisham here is Hisham ibn Urwa, one of the grandchildren of Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. Hisham ibn Urwa was reporting from his father, Urwa ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu. He is a Tabi'i Jalil, is the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. And he is the son of who? Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, and who? Zubayr ibn Awam, radiallahu anhuma. And he is reporting from his maternal aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha. Urwa ibn Zubayr is reporting from his maternal aunt, Aisha. And Aisha was also the teacher of Urwa ibn Zubayr. Most of the basic sciences that Urwa took, radiallahu anhuma, he took it from our mother, عائشة رضي الله عنها. So عائشة رضي الله عنها said, جاء عربي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. A desert Arab, a Bedouin, came to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فقال أتقبلون صبيانكم. He started to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, do you kiss your feet? The scholars say perhaps when he came into the desert, he saw the people carrying their kids to their bodies, carrying their kids, their boys, their girls to themselves, and perhaps kissing them the way parents, out of compassion and mercy and love for our children, the way we kiss them out of compassion. In fact, the experience with holding our children to ourselves is that you feel some sort of emotional you become emotionally connected to your children. You feel their pain. And you find that they feel your pain too when you are always holding your children to yourself. You feel their pain, they feel your pain. It's like transferring the sense of compassion from yourself to them. And it's like gaining from their sense of innocence to yourself. So there's this kind of a connection between the parent and the child when the parent is used to holding the child to himself, or that the mother is used to holding the child to herself. These days, we're in a generation of throwing the children away. So when this man came into the garden, he saw the way the people, everyone held their child, and then he began to ask the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, atuqabbiluna subyanakum, messenger of Allah, do you people kiss your kids here? It's like saying, we don't have time for that. How do I carry a baby and begin to kiss? Or how do I carry a baby and begin to cuddle? Have the baby to myself? I don't have time for this. We are busy people with our camels and our cattle and our goats and sheep in the desert and perhaps our farmlands. We are busy people. We don't have time for kids. And many of us today will say, oh, I'm a busy person. I'm busy in the office. I'm the CEO of a multinational. I'm the director of this. How does an accountant general begin to carry and then have time to cuddle and then kiss his child? I don't have time for this. These are the kinds of excuses we will make today. But in those days, the excuses were excuses of getting busy with their animals in their farms and the likes of these. This man, out of amazement, negative amazement, he was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atuqabbiluna subyanakum, do you people kiss your kids? فَمَا نُقَبِّلُهُمْ. As for us, مَا نُقَبِّلُهُمْ. We don't kiss our kids. We don't have time to call to keep our kids to our bodies. We don't kiss our kids. We don't peck them. We don't have time for that. We don't do that. مَا نُقَبِّلُهُمْ. We don't kiss our kids. You kiss your kids. This is strange. Does a person who is the messenger of Allah, should he have a time to do that with kids? This is like asking in amazement, what kind of a thing are you doing? وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم answered him, أو أملك لك أن نزع الله من قبلك الرحمة؟ أو أملك لك؟ Do I control الرحمة؟ أو أملك لك أن نزع الله من قلبك الرحمة؟ أو أملك لك. Am I in a position to provide mercy in your heart? أن نزع الله من قلبك الرحمة. After Allah has removed mercy from your mind, or if Allah has removed, or that Allah has removed mercy from your mind, أو أملك لك. Will I be beneficial to you in that? Can I bring mercy into your heart when Allah has removed mercy from your heart? The point here is that, oh brothers, when you are a parent who holds his child to himself, when you are a mother who keeps her daughter, her son to herself, who kisses them, who pays attention to them, and kiss them specifically, when you do this, it is a means of gaining rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. When you do that, you gain the rahmah of Allah inside your heart. And the Prophet said to the one who was contesting, why, and asking out of amazement, why is it that children are kissed here? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awa amliku laka. Do I have an ability to provide you mercy in your heart? And naza Allahu min qalbika rahmah, when Allah had removed rahmah from your heart. So those who don't do that with their children, they find that the repercussion of not kissing your children is that Allah will remove rahmah from your heart. The repercussion, the evil.
So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, before that interruption, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was rejecting what that Bida'in radiallahu anhu was amazed about regarding kissing children. So he says, awa amliku laka an naza Allahu min qalbika rahmah, will I be beneficial to you? Can I place mercy inside your heart? An naza Allahu min qalbika rahmah, if Allah had removed mercy from your heart. The scholars explain that from the means of gaining the mercy of the heart is that we pay attention to our children. We kiss them, we pet them, we bring them to ourselves, show mercy to them, show them compassion, show them kindness, show them goodness. We make them understand with all of these that from the ways of being a human being is that you are a kind person. We teach them emotionally that the way to be a human being is that you are kind to the rest of the people. That is an expression we are used to saying, but we don't know that it is the parents that will teach the child the lesson in that expression. We say that someone does not have the human feelings. We say, this man, he does not have human feelings. We say that a lot. This man does not feel like a human being. How can a man who has not been taught how to feel like a human being feel like a human being? The parents have not taught him how to feel like a human being. So how will he feel like a human being? If you want your children to feel like human beings, bring them to yourself, especially the kids, the infants, the toddlers, those ones who are so young, don't throw them away from yourself. And we had even mentioned, even regarding those ones, up to the teenage age until they go out of our homes, we must not forget to be good companions for our children. May Allah bless the rest of our children, the entirety of our children, and make them those who, when we see them, we are glad. We quickly move to hadith number 91. We had interruptions, but we quickly move to hadith number 91. It has the meaning of hadith number 90, and they both occur under the same chapter heading. In this case, this hadith was reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari from his Sheikh Abu Yaman. So he says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو الْيَمَانِ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا شُعَيْبٌ عَنِ الزُّهْرِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو سَلَمَ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ أن أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قبل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حسن ابن علي وعنده الأقرأ ابن حابس التميمي جالس فقال الأقرأ إن لي عشرة من الولد ما قبلت منهم أحدا فنظر إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ثم قال من لا يرحم لا يرحم من لا يرحم لا يرحم. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this is from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, قبل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حسن ابن علي وعنده الأقرأ ابن حابس التميمي جالس. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he kissed as he used to kiss his own son Ibrahim. In this case, he was kissing his grandchild, Anas ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was kissing Hassan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was the grandchild of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. وعندahu, when the Prophet did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had near him Al-Aqra'u ibn Habis al-Tamimi. He had Al-Aqra'u ibn Habis al-Tamimi with him, Jalisun, sitting down. The Prophet was kissing his son, and then this man was, it was in the presence of this man. That man was in that sitting. فقال الأقرع الأقرع رضي الله عنه ابن حابس then said إن لي عشرة من الولد messenger of Allah I have 10 children ما قبلت منهم أحدا I never kissed any one of them some of us will say oh, I have 6, 7, 8, 4, 5, 6 children and you never kiss anyone hear what the prophet will say to the one who said he had 10 ما قبلت منهم أحدا I never kissed anyone from amongst them فنظر إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم The Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam looked at him and then said, Man la yarhamu la yurham. Man la yarhamu la yurham. The one who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. The one who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. Meaning that from the major aspects of showing mercy to our children is that we hold them to ourselves and that we kiss them. We kiss our infants. We kiss our kids. Mothers, kiss your kids. Kiss your boys. Kiss your girls. Bring them to yourself. Don't be a mother who will throw away the son. Say, look here, I'm busy. Whether you want to stay or not, you must stay here. I have to go now. And then you drop the child with some games, video games and all of these. You are teaching this child to be the opposite of what compassion is. You are teaching this child to be rough and coarse too. You are teaching this child very bad lessons in life. And I hope, I pray that you change and you adjust this lifestyle so that this boy does not treat you like that tomorrow. Be merciful, be kind to your son, to your child, to your daughter. Bring them to yourself. Don't throw them away. Don't see handling your boys and your girls, your children, your own children. Don't see companionship with them. Don't see bringing them to yourself. Don't see kissing them. Don't see cuddling them. Don't see smelling their bodies after they have nice baths. You dress them well. You bring them to yourself. You kiss them. You show them kindness. You show them mercy. Don't let all of this be a means of burden to you. This is something that the best of the human beings used to do. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And now he connects this physical action to our minds. When you do this, turham, you yourself will receive mercy. But when you don't do that, la turham, you will not receive mercy. A major point of benefit from these ahadith today is that what we do physically influences our hearts. Our physical action. Look at how kissing influences having rahmah in the mind. Look at how kissing is a symbol that a person has rahmah inside his heart. Look at how avoiding these and keeping away our children, ostracizing our children, is a means by which Allah removes mercy from the heart of an individual. So for the sake of Allah, each of us, we should change our children to we should change our attitude to our children. Bring your children close to yourself. Kiss your children. Talk to them. Cuddle them. Let them feel the warmth of a mother. Let them feel the warmth of a father. Keep them to yourself. Spend time with them. And I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us as an act of worship. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there are ahadith that mentions that parents should keep their children. Mothers, yes, the children usually stay upon your laps. You should recognize that what you are doing is a sunnah and an act of worship. There are ahadith that, look at the woman who, for example, after eating, giving a date each to each of her children, the remaining date she divided into two and gave each of them a half of what was remaining. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah qad awjaba laha biha al-jannah. Allah has written down for her that she will, out of that mercy she showed to her children, she will enter al-jannah. And the report that we read in this book, it says, لَقَدْ رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهَا صَبِيَّيْهَا Allah has shown her mercy because of her showing mercy to her children. How many times then does a mother receive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of this kind of kindness to their children? How many times? How many times? So you see, the status of being a mother is a very, very big status. The status of being at home, being a mother at home, to pay direct attention to your children It's a very, very big status. Unfortunately, many of the women today, we are busy. And then they give all these duties to the nanny. The nanny cannot transfer compassion to your child. The nanny cannot transfer kindness to your child. So if you want your child to be a compassionate child, a kind child, a merciful child, and a human being, as a human being should be, who will have the mind of mercy, you yourself, the parents, father and mother, you have a duty to teach this child how to be merciful. And one of the ways of doing so is to bring these children to ourselves and kiss them, be it Mila, or peck them, as the case may be, so that we teach them from the very age, from the very beginning of their life, how to be merciful, how to be kind, how to be compassionate with the rest of the human beings that they have come to this dunya to spend time with. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today so that we can take a few questions before we reach the hour. Abu Yusuf, bismillah. We can have the questions for today, inshallah.
Naam, jazakumullahu khairan, ya shaykhana.
Ameen, one, two, five, jazakumullahu khairan.
This one says, is the kissing mouth to mouth?
Yes, for little kids, yes. Mothers should do that with their daughters and their sons. Kiss them. Kiss them. Peck them. Your sons, the problem is that we're in a generation where most of the people in the times and what is being propagated in the times are the things of blindness and inverted instincts. We are living in a generation where we have a lot of blindness and inverted instincts. So these kinds of inverted instincts, I mean instincts that have changed. I give us an example. Someone looks at the sky. The sun is bright. And then he begins to say that the sun is dark. Look at the sky. Even the blind will almost recognize that the sun is in its color bright. So bright that we could hardly even figure out its shape when we look at it in the sky. But this man, he has a defect. He has a problem. When he looks at the sky, he comes back to say, no, the sky is dark in its color. We know that he's a sick person. So sick people might find it difficult to say they kiss their sons as mothers, or that they kiss their daughters, infants, because you have something in the mind that is sick. People have sick minds now. So a father can say, oh, if I kiss my daughter now, I'll feel emotional. What emotional? The reason people will feel like that is that there are instincts now that are turned. How does my kid of 2, 3, 4 years that I carry to myself, that in the times of cold like this, will be happy that I am under the agbada, for example, of my father? This child is going to fold himself or herself to you. She's going to feel protected, or he is going to feel protected. He's going to feel a sense of warmth. He's going to feel a sense of compassion. He's going to feel a sense of mercy. How does that become the same kind of kiss that a man directs towards his wife? Doesn't emotions know limits? So, but the problem is that we're in a generation where people have inverted instincts, like we say. So things like this become, oh, how does a man kiss his own son? How does a man kiss his own daughter? A kid, an infant, an action of mercy. How does that become an action of the kind of an emotional love that occurs between the man and the wife? The only thing that will make a man feel like that towards his daughter, or make a woman feel like that towards his son, is that they have what? Inverted instincts. Their instincts are inverted. Their natural instincts have been so corrupted that they are now inverted. Otherwise, there is no question around having a child, a father kiss the daughter, who of course an infant or a kid, a little girl. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, even when Fatima became a matured girl, he used to kiss her on the forehead. We'll read those ahadiths here. These things amongst the Arabs, even till today, it's a well-known culture. And it's a thing of love, the love that occurs between a father and a husband, and between a father and his daughter. These are things that are well known in people's instincts, where the instincts are normal, where the instincts are sound. where the instincts are not sick and ill instincts. People now have sick and ill instincts. That is why when that kind of a thing occurs between a father and a daughter, or between a mother and a son, how much of compassion, how much of love, interest, closeness does it occur when a mother hugs the son? How is that? How is that? So this is not the same thing that she feels when she hugs her husband. But the problem is that we're in a generation where evil and negative instincts, inverted instincts, are popularized and publicized. So some of the people have been infected with these diseases and virus worse than the COVID-19. And they begin to employ that as a way to interpret some of these actions of mercy and compassion that is ingrained even in lower animals, not to say in human beings. Allahu a'lam.
This one says, in a polygamous home, should the first wife kiss and carry the other wife's kids?
Yes, it's possible, because the other wives are the mothers of the sons and the daughters in that home too. They are mothers too. They're aunts, just like the aunts. You see, your maternal aunts, how do they feel? I have a maternal aunt that's about 96 years old now. As an individual, there is no day that I visit her except that she hugs me. I am well over 40, nearly 50 now. I have an aunt. Whenever I visit her, she will still, when I try to hold back, she will say, come. She will still hold me to herself. In fact, very recently, not too long ago, she was kissing me. When she kissed me, she held me, she closed her eyes. Are these the kinds of kiss that a man has with his wife? The issue is that our mothers and our fathers, our elder ones, anyone beyond 40 now, you will see this thing as natural. But many of the young people see these things as what's happening. Maternal aunt is hugging me. Subhanallah, because people have inverted instincts now. And this inversion, this negative instinct, is being publicized and propagated. So we have hardly been able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong in all of these. Otherwise, what is ingrained in the natural, is like parents now. Do we not have mothers who sell their children? We read in the news, a mother who will sell the child to those who are evil. They will employ the child for evil. Is this from a mother, you can call a mother, or a mother who has an infection in the mind that for which cannot make us say that she's a mother? So back to the issue directly. Just like our maternal aunts and paternal aunts, when they see us like their children that they themselves gave birth to. In fact, sometimes the kind of emotions that we feel and enjoy from our aunts, they may be stronger than what our mothers will do to us, even at this age. So the same thing applies to our co-wives. Ordinarily, this is how the relationship between them and the rest and our mothers should be at home. The co-wives of our mothers should be just like our aunts, paternal and maternal. So they too can hug us, they too can keep us to themselves. I used to enjoy all of these. These are personal experiences. I grew up in a home with three women. Until as I speak today, I never forget my stepmother, far younger than my mother, but I enjoyed her warmth. She used to back me, and I was a little young boy. At age four, I was still being backed. At age four, I was still enjoying the back. So you can imagine how the individual will. This was what we enjoyed as kids. But today things have turned the other way around. So we have a duty to start to educate ourselves, to enlighten ourselves, to come back to normalcy, so that the children that we will give birth to will be children who will be human beings, children who will have the face of human beings and the hearts of human beings. Many of the children today have the face of human beings but the hearts of lions. Why? They were never taught how to have the heart of a human being. May Allah protect all of us.
This one says, what is the limit for a woman hugging her uncles and brothers, even when the husband does not like it?
Well, these are old habits we now, and we all must know how to control these matters. That a woman hugs her brother, and they have both gone into the age of maturity, is something that women control a lot. Even women, sometimes they don't like it. The men too feel somehow about it, because we have now all grown up, so we feel, oh, let us reduce all of this, and it should truly be reduced. More so if a woman knows that, oh, my husband does not like this, she should reduce it or completely set it aside. And this should start from the age of maturity. From the age of maturity, the boys and the girls, we should learn to set limits in some of these matters of hug or kiss or something like this. We should begin to set very serious limits for our boys and for our girls from the age of maturity, or any age near it, when they have begun to recognize and realize themselves as a people. I think that will suffice for that question. Can we have this as the last question, Abu Yusuf?
Yes, you can.
It says, can a nurse wear a niqab to work, remove it at work, then wear it back home?
Yes, she can do so. She can do so, especially if she considers veiling the face as something that is a recommended practice, something that is mustahab. If she also considers it as an obligation, and working as a female nurse, especially in a place where many of the people who benefit from her are women, if not all of them, then to be something that's also encouraged, that then she goes to do that kind of a work, even though she considers veiling the face as obligatory. More so if it's in a serene hospital where most of those she will relate with are females like herself. That's what I refer to as a serene hospital. It's allowed for her, bismillah. If she considers it obligatory, and it becomes a thing of obligation, for example, for her to work in that kind of a hospital, it's also allowed within the limits of the time of work, bismillah. That will come under the issues of ad-darurat tubihul mahdurat. Imagine a woman who happens to be a widow. Imagine the woman we have discussed in this hadith, the woman who had nothing, she had two children. Imagine that in our own time today, she's a nurse. It will not be impermissible for her to seek lawful means of earning for herself and then for her children. If in the circumstance that she does not have male relatives, like her uncle, like her brother, who should take care of her. But this education has started now, and we all have a duty. Teach your boys. Your boys, your sons are not only responsible to their wives, they are responsible to their wives, they are responsible to their mothers, they are responsible to their sisters. We all should begin to teach our children this fact, our sons especially. Don't forget, your sisters, your daughters will be upon you as you grow up as a young man. So have it in mind now as a young boy. You have a duty towards your wife, you have a duty towards your mother, towards your maternal aunt, towards your paternal aunt, towards every woman that surrounds you by birth, by lineage. That's why we must also teach our children their lineage, as we have read in this book. So if we have a woman who does not have all of these men around her, and then she has children to take care of, in that kind of a circumstance, she can work in that kind of a hospital, earn some money, and then go back home. Even though if we have a community, before it reaches the issue of she going to work there, the community has a duty to take care of her. So before she goes to that kind of an extent of having to unveil to work in that place, a lot of things would have gone that this one is not available, this one is not available, and all that. And then there's no community that can also care for her and get her a husband to marry who will begin to care for her. Then in that kind of a circumstance, for her to be able to care for herself, she may go to those kinds of an environment, unveil herself, her face, to be able to walk and earn, and then feed herself and her children. But these will be for very, very strangely lone women in the community. May Allah protect us all and accept our acts of worship. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا. صلوات الله عليكم يا شيخنا.
آمين وإياكم أبا يوسف.